slow in the left-hand lane, and when someone tries to pass you, speed up until you get to the vehicle right in front of them, and then slow down to the speed of that one so they can't get around you. Or speed past someone, get in front of them, and then slow down. Now, I don't recommend that you do that, but if you want to see anger, that will get it. You will get some people very upset. For other people, you know, anger comes from different reasons. But we hear enough about road rage that I think we can all agree that if you want to see somebody mad, just look on the interstate. Well, anger is a real problem for a lot of people. It's almost daily you hear something in the news about arguments that escalated until someone gets shot. You know, if you follow sports at all, it's not all that uncommon to hear of some sports person getting in an argument and then waving a gun. In fact, I think it just happened last week. I don't know who it was, but somebody decided just to pull a gun and show that they weren't somebody to be trifled with. And anger is the cause of many problems in relationships, in families, in marriages especially. Anger, if left unchecked, can cause marriages to go down the drain and be ruined and end in divorce. Now, you may ask, what on earth does all of this have to do with elders? Because you knew that's where we were going tonight, right? This is, if I'm not mistaken, this is week 11 on elders. The sixth week we've talked about qualifications. Only got like 4 weeks left. We'll get through it. But I'm glad you asked what that has to do with elders. Not that any of you actually did, but I'm sure you were thinking it. But tonight we're going to be looking at the qualifications which deal with the topic of anger. If you look at Titus chapter 1 and verse 7, one of the qualifications there, it says, a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry. So an elder must not be one who is soon angry. Well, what does that mean? What does soon angry mean? Well, Thayer says it means prone to anger. And that's exactly how Hugo McCord translated it in his translation. He said it means prone to anger. Another way of saying it is quick-tempered. And some translations put quick-tempered instead of soon angry. It is the only time in the entirety of the New Testament that this word appears. The word soon angry, or the word that's translated soon angry, is not anywhere else in the Bible. But this word describes a person whose buttons are easily pushed. That's one way of saying it. It's someone who gets angry very easily. You know people like that, don't you? All you have to do is say a certain thing. Or better yet, just bring up a certain topic and they will get mad and get mad very quickly. I mentioned when we lived in Arkansas, I said something similar. I said, how would you think, now this is in Arkansas, I said, how would you think if I said, Razorbacks stink, go Texas? One guy afterwards said if I had said that again, he was going to charge the pulpit. Now, that's something he took personally. That's something that would have really upset him, or that did really upset him. That's something that if you say something bad about Arkansas football, it got him mad. Well, there are people like that here. You say something about any given topic, be it politics, be it religion, be it sports, people are going to get upset. But do you know people that they will be very nice and very cordial unless you bring up, or somebody even just happens to mention, or they maybe not even mention it, maybe they've said something that the guy interprets as, oh, you must be bringing up this topic, well, let me go on a tangent because that topic makes me mad. Well, that happens. There are people like that, and they are soon angry. They may be nice most of the time, but they quickly get upset, quickly get mad if they're crossed or if the wrong subject is broached. Basically, an elder must not be soon angry means he needs to be able to control his temper. He needs to be one who doesn't give in whenever something comes up, whether somebody's trying to make him mad or otherwise. He doesn't let his temper get the best of it, especially not at the beginning. Usually this person won't seek for understanding, but his first response is to get mad. How many people do you know that don't want to figure out what the root of the problem is and how to make things better? They just decide to get in a shouting match, thinking if they shout louder, that'll solve the problem. Whoever shouts loudest is the one that's right. Right? Well, you know that's not how it works. Well, how can you tell if a man is quick-tempered or soon angry? Well, if you observe the person over a period of time, you ought to know this. You can tell they're the person who flies off the handle. Or you know you can't really discuss certain things with them because they'll just get mad. And so you'll never be able to discuss that issue with them anymore. Sometimes a man is well behaved with his friends, but put him in a business, and he will just berate people. He won't be nice to them. He'll let his temper get the better of him in his business. Well, how does he act towards those people who disagree with him? That's how you can tell if a man is quick-tempered or not. If he's polite to them, if he's willing to listen to their side, then he's not quick-tempered. But if he gets angry right off the bat, then he fits the description of someone who is soon angry, and that person, Paul says, is not qualified to be an elder. How does a man behave towards his wife and children? A lot of people who are quick-tempered might be able to hold it in when they're out in public, might be able to hold it in with friends, but they will lash out at their family just like that. And they take out all their frustrations on their family, on their wife, and on their children. We need to make sure that as far as an elder goes, we don't put someone forth for the eldership that is soon angry. We don't want somebody like that. Instead of being quick-tempered, elders are to be patient and long-suffering. We looked at, a few weeks ago, the need for all Christians, especially elders, to be patient. Well, patient means you don't get soon angry. They're the same thing. Not soon angry means you're patient or you're long-suffering. All Christians need to spend time in prayer asking God for His help in controlling our temper. How many people have perfect control over their temper? Anyone? Okay, there's like three of us. But I'm sure if we tried hard enough, we could get each other mad. But why should a man then be not soon angry? Why should we have elders who are patient instead of elders who fly off the handle? Well, a man who's quick-tempered will bring reproach upon the church quicker than almost anything else. You put a Christian out there, a man who lets everybody know, hey, I am an elder. I am one of the people that the church looks to as an example. And then you let them just fly off the handle in public and get mad at somebody. Show how intemperate they are, how impatient they are with people. How many people do you think are going to come visit this congregation after seeing that? Not many. Probably not a one. We don't want somebody with that kind of attitude and that kind of temper to be leading us, because it will bring reproach upon the church, and people really won't want to have anything to do with us after that, after they've seen that display. A quick-tempered man will also not show patience in solving problems within the Lord's church. If there are disagreements, if there's disputes within the Lord's church, especially if it involves the elder or one of his family and he is quick-tempered, that problem's not going to get fixed. It's probably going to get worse, and it may end up with people leaving the congregation over it. I've seen that happen, or heard about that happening, in congregations where I have previously attended, where someone who was an elder, or was formerly an elder, just flew off the handle with someone, that whole family left. Never came back. Just because he didn't show patience with them. Instead, he was quick-tempered. A quick-tempered man will not seek to work toward solutions, but instead let anger cloud his judgment. How many people have ever been so mad you couldn't think straight? All of us, right? You've been so mad that you really don't care what's right or wrong. You just want to be mad. Maybe lash out at somebody. Go kick the stuffed animal because it'd be wrong to kick the dog. But a quick-tempered man will quickly give up on studying people who might need more help and more attention as well. You know, there are some people who require more patience. You have to have patience to deal with certain people, even Christians. There are people you just got to have more patience with because it may take them longer to understand something. Well, a quick-tempered man is probably going to be someone who says, look, don't you get it already? Well, what's that going to do? It's going to make the other person feel awful. They may never come back, and that elder may have just caused someone to lose their soul because of the way they acted. Now, I mentioned a few weeks ago, all these weeks are just blending together. I don't remember which week anymore. Ted Clark, B.J. Clark's father, was at a congregation, and somebody came in visiting, and they said during the class, "I don't understand why you guys don't use instruments, or I don't understand why you guys think baptism is important." One or the other, and one of the elders said, "Well, it just is." And then apparently later on, he went with the same guy door knocking somewhere, and they knocked on someone's door, and this guy had been converted out of a denomination, and the person whose door they knocked on was of that denomination. They said, "Oh, no, we don't want to come visit. We're with this denomination." And the guy said, "Well, that's just stupid." Okay. What kind of impact are you going to have for Christ when you act that way? If you don't show patience, because not everybody's on the same learning level as all of the rest of the Christians here may be. But a quick-tempered man will probably have constant trouble in his family, in his married life as well. Because if he's quick-tempered with his friends, he's probably going to be quick-tempered with his family also. Now, the verse says an elder should not be soon angry. Does that mean it's okay for an elder to be angry? As long as he doesn't do it immediately, he lets it build up instead? Well, it depends on what you mean by angry, because Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26 says, "Be ye angry and sin not." Now, this angry in this Ephesians 4:26 is the same root word as the Greek word that we're talking about here, so it does apply to the discussion. Some people take that verse, "Be ye angry and sin not," to mean have righteous indignation towards sin. Be upset about sin, but don't sin while doing it. Don't take it out on them in a sinful way, on the people that are doing it. Other people say this verse means it's okay to be angry at someone so long as you don't let that anger force you to sin or cause you to think mean thoughts because of your anger. The difference in the interpretation really comes down to what are you angry at, though? Are you angry at the person or are you angry at the sin? What does God hate? Does God hate people that sin, or does he hate the sin that people do? God hates the sin. He loves the sinner. He gave his son to die on the cross so that all sinners could be saved. And Paul said he was the chief of sinners. God loved Paul, the chief of sinners. God loves all of us. God loves everybody else that sins. So God hates the sin, not the sinner. So if this verse is talking about righteous indignation, it means an elder must not soon get angry at sins. Well, shouldn't an elder be angry whenever he finds out about sin? You would think so, or angry about the sin. God was frequently angered because of sin. Just look through the book of Deuteronomy. It talks about that about 42 times, how God was angry at the Israelites because of their sin. Some say it's okay to be angry so long as you don't actually do anything about it or act on it. It's okay to let that anger fester in your head so long as you don't actually go and hurt somebody or go and call somebody out or say something you shouldn't say to them. Well, Jesus taught during the Sermon on the Mount that your thoughts will get you condemned just as much as your actions. He said, "The one who looks on a woman to lust after her," that's impure thoughts, "is just as guilty as if he committed adultery with her." And he says he does commit adultery with her in his heart. "The one who hates his brother," now again, that's thoughts. "The one who hates his brother is just like a murderer to God. It's just as bad, even though they haven't acted on it." So what does "be angry and sin not" mean then? Well, it's okay to get upset about something. It's just fine to get upset about sin. But you don't take it out on the person. You be angry at the sin, and you try to convert the sinner. Be angry at the sin, but don't sin yourself in doing it. It's okay to get upset. If you're angry because people sin, that's a good thing. Just make sure you don't respond to it in an unchristian way. And it's okay to get mad, because all of us get mad at something. Again, how many times have you been cut off in traffic? There's some people I'd ask that to. They never get cut off in traffic because they're always, you know, the ones passing everybody. That was me a few years ago. But you can get upset. Just don't hold on to it. Don't hold on to your anger. and don't give place to the devil. Don't let the devil in into your thoughts, especially when you're angry. So an elder must not be soon angry. But if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3, we'll see also that an elder must not be a brawler. It says, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient. Not a brawler, not covetous. What is a brawler? I remember, until just a few years ago, I didn't really do much background look into what these words actually mean. I just took brawler means what we think of brawler today. So an elder must not be a fist fighter. Must not be somebody you see out in back alleys beating people up. Does that work? No. Okay. Well, that was the first thought that entered my mind a few years ago when I was reading through these. But other translations, McCord and the American Standard Version both says an elder must not be contentious. The New King James Version says not quarrelsome. And the Coverdale Bible from some 600 years ago says an elder must abhor strife or hate strife. So really, a brawler is someone who loves arguments. He is one who loves strife. You know the kind of people, they're not happy unless other people are unhappy. They're not happy unless there's a problem. If there is peace in the congregation, that just aggravates them to no end. They can't be happy unless something's wrong. There's people like that on the radio. If you listen to talk radio at all, if things are going smooth, they're just beside themselves, angry. But whenever there's problems, say, in the government, oh, they love it. They just love it when there's strife. And they love stirring it up, too. But someone who is a brawler here is a contentious person. They're always trying to stir up trouble. You might call them just troublemakers in general. There's people in some congregations that everything may be nice and peaceful, and so in order to get things more interesting, they bring up things that have long been forgotten by some people, and they bring it up and try to get people mad about it again. Have you ever seen anything like that? And people do it in families all the time. The Edomites is a perfect example. Jacob and Esau had that argument over that bowl of porridge for the birthright, and then Jacob went and stole the blessing of Esau from Esau by tricking his father. And Esau wanted to kill him. Jacob leaves, gets married, has kids, comes back, and Esau meets him with open arms. Esau has forgiven. Yet 1,000 years later, the Edomites still hate the Israelites because they stole the birthright. They wouldn't let it go. They just had to keep bringing that up. Well, how can you tell then if someone is a brawler? Well, is he argumentative? Do his discussions usually end up in shouting matches or involve how everyone else is wrong and he's the only one that's right? Or he may not even say, well, I'm right, but he always likes to point out how other people are wrong about things. Maybe, oh, well, the elders aren't qualified. They shouldn't be elders anyway. That happens all the time in places. People are always trying to stir up something. Maybe his discussions always seek to cause problems. Well, you can tell if somebody is a brawler, contentious, by seeing if he's a gossip as well. A gossip is not someone who talks about other people when they're not around. It's someone who talks bad about other people when they're not around. It's perfectly fine for someone to come up to me and tell me how great of a Christian Roy is. And how great of a husband he is because of how he takes care of his wife, even if he's not around. That's not gossip. That's encouraging. A gossip is someone who goes around telling things that may or may not be true. It really doesn't matter if they're true or not. If it's something that is not going to build up, it shouldn't be said. What is the statement? If you don't have something good to say, don't say anything at all. Well, that would fit, don't you think? Well, a man is a contentious person if he's a gossip, if he talks about others behind their back, and maybe he always seems to bring other people up in his conversations, and not in a good way. He's always willing to talk about other people. There are a lot of congregations who have that one person who can and will tell you everything you didn't want to know about every member of the congregation. You go up to Illinois, and go where my aunt and uncle go. There are one or two people there that if you go there for a couple of weeks, they'll let you know everybody, who they're related to, who they've wronged in the past, why you shouldn't trust them. They'll tell you all of it. Well, that's a contentious person. That's what's being described here as a brawler. Paul called them tattlers and busybodies, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13. Well, you can tell if someone is a brawler or contentious. Does he seek to divide the Lord's church instead of uniting it? Does he insist that everyone who disagrees with him on any given subject is wrong? Well, worse yet, some people say, well, he disagrees with me, therefore he's going to hell. Because, after all, I am the standard of right and wrong. Not Jesus, but me. Now, they don't say that, but that's what you have to read into it. One of my teachers up at preaching school said, Brad, if you agree with me on everything, the only thing that proves is we're both wrong about something. Because none of us are right about everything. You guys have been studying the Bible, a lot of you longer than I've been alive. Do you have everything figured out? Are you absolutely sure you are right about everything in the Scriptures, about your interpretation of everything? Now, I find stuff new every day. Kenny says the same thing. Wayne has said the same thing. Every time he studies the Bible, he finds something new he didn't realize was there. So all of us are wrong about something. All, you know, hopefully small, insignificant things. We make sure that we're all right on the salvation issues. But there are many people who believe you can only use one cup in the Lord's Supper, and that's fine. You can use one cup. There's nothing wrong with that. But they say you're going to hell if you use more than that. In fact, some of them say you go to hell if for some reason you spill the cup. You have to refill it and start over at the beginning, make everybody drink again. Otherwise, they're all going to hell because they didn't take it right. Well, that's a contentious person, someone who is always trying to divide the Lord's church instead of uniting them. You can tell if someone is a brawler if he fits the description. He's not happy unless people are unhappy. Well, instead of being contentious, elders need to be peaceable and peacemakers as well. All Christians are told in Romans 12 and verse 18, as much as lieth within you, be at peace with all men. You need to make sure that you are not the cause of problems between you and anybody else. You need to make sure that if it's within your realm of ability, be at peace with people. If someone's mad at you and you can fix it by going to them and talking it out, then do it. Some cases, the best way to be at peace with somebody is to never talk to them again and do everything you can to avoid them. Because some people will not be at peace with you at all. But since this applies to all Christians are to strive to be at peace with everybody, it applies to the eldership as well. They need to try to seek for peace with people. So why should an elder not be contentious? Well, an elder is supposed to help protect the flock as well as helping them grow. Driving people away by their attitude is not helping the flock grow. It's not protecting them. In fact, it's sending them out into the open by themselves to fend for themselves. How is that helping to protect or help the flock grow? Paul said I am made all things to all people so that he might save some of them. He wasn't unbending and insisting that it was his way or the highway. He tried to be at peace with people. He tried to identify with them so that he could convert them. He didn't want to drive them away. A contentious person will find it very difficult to encourage people, which would convert them. A contentious elder will cause strife, not just within the congregation, but even within the eldership. There is nothing worse for a congregation than to have an eldership which is at odds with itself. That will tear down a congregation quicker than just about anything. A contentious person will usually seek to elevate himself because he knows what's right. Nobody else does. You ever met anybody like that? They've got that idea of, I'm telling you this, so you better pay attention because you won't know it unless you hear it from me. I had teachers at college like that. They had this, you know, nose stuck up in the air. If you don't hear it from me, you'll never learn it type of attitude. Well, that's a contentious person. They think too highly of themselves, and they're seeking to cause strife as if everybody else is stupid. Well, that is not the way an elder should be. We are commanded to put others above ourselves, Philippians 2, 4 and Matthew 7 and verse 12. And this applies to all Christians, again, not just the eldership. All Christians must seek to be at peace with all men, Romans 12, verse 18. And that eliminates being contentious. That eliminates being a brawler from consideration. The contentious person will receive the indignation and wrath of God, Romans chapter 2 and verse 8. Let's look at that verse real quickly, Romans chapter 2 and verse 8. Paul, speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, says, "But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath." That's what they will receive, indignation and the wrath of God, because they are contentious. The contentious person is not going to get to heaven. Is that really what you want? Do you really want to suffer the vengeance of God? If not, you need to make sure that you are not being contentious. Well, the last thing we're going to look at tonight, I'm not done yet. He almost started to get his songbook. I had him going there for a moment. An elder must not be a striker. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3, as well as Titus chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, not given to wine, no striker, there in 1 Timothy 3, 3. So what does it mean to be a striker? Does it mean you're part of a union and you walk out on your job? Well, that's the way a lot of people use it. That's not what it means. Interestingly enough, Hugo McCord translated this one as quick-tempered. And the New King James Version translates it as not violent. One commentary I read says, this means a pugnacious or combative person. Pugnacious, that's one of those big words. I'm not really sure exactly what it means, but I'm sure it's bad. But the word in Greek comes from a root word meaning to strike or to hit, as in beating something or someone. Physically violent. That's what I thought a brawler was at one point. The argument? They take it outside and have a fist fight until somebody falls down and can't get back up again. Whoever won is the one that's right, because God was with him. And, seriously, Jesse's cousin will be here Wednesday night. It's her grandmother. You can ask her. But they honestly have fist fights in front of their building and, you know, draw blood. And that's why they call it the bloody bucket for some reason. And they have a well out front. That's where the bucket part comes in, I think. Anyway, that's what we would call a striker. Somebody who gets physically violent in their arguments. Is it okay to have an argument? You know, trying to prove your point, show where you think something is right, as long as you're willing to listen to the other side, is it okay? Sure. You going to come to blows over it? Probably better not. That would be what's considered a striker. You can tell a person is a striker if he uses physical intimidation to get his way. You know, do people fear crossing this person because of what the consequences might be? You know, it's like the mob. You don't want to cross the mob because, well, you just don't. Because something bad's going to happen to you or you know, one of your family members. You might go swimming with the fishies, I think is how they put it. Well, you can tell a person is a striker if he beats his children or his wife. And I don't mean spanks them, but I mean beats them, as in abusively. There's a big difference. The Bible commands us to whip our children. It says so in the book of Proverbs many times. Now, the child who disobeys ought to have his back whipped with a rod. I don't remember the exact phrase, but it says that quite a few times. The Bible says we ought to do it. And a lot of people think spare the rod, spoil the child is a commandment and not something that says you need to spank them, otherwise they will grow up spoiled. But you can tell a man might be a striker if he beats his children or his wife. He might take out his frustrations on his family with his fists. You can tell if a person is a striker if he's serious when he says, you want to take this outside? I have been asked that here since I've been here. But it was jokingly. Okay? Because I really doubt Jerry wants to fight me. I'm kidding. It wasn't Jerry that said it. But, you know, if he's serious about trying to resolve disputes with his fists, he is not the kind of person we want leading the congregation. He is not a good example of a Christian, and he has some serious work to do before he could even be considered a faithful child of God. Jesus doesn't want us out there fighting to prove that we're right. He doesn't want us out there, you know, fist fighting or gunslinging in order to prove that we're right about some Bible topic. That is just completely foreign to Christianity. So why should elders not be violent people? Well, violent people tend to lord it over other people, don't they? Well, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, one of the things Peter says is that the elders are not to lord it over the flock. They're not to try to say, "You're mine, I control you." And that's what people who are physically violent are trying to do. They're trying to control other people through intimidation. Violent people try to force other people to do things their way, and that completely violates the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus was meek. Jesus was slapped across the face, spat upon, made fun of. What did Jesus do? He sat there and took it. He didn't get in a fight over it. He just let them do it. And Jesus said, one of the things we're supposed to do is be willing to turn the other cheek. So, there are some elders, and I've heard about them, some elders who decide they need to keep the congregation in line through physical force. Look, if you don't get back here and start attending services, you may not make it to work tomorrow. I kid you not, I've heard those stories, and they were told to me as true. And this would only bring reproach upon the church. Can you imagine what would be said around McLeod if word got out that Jerry and Wayne got in a fist fight over the topic of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the middle of services? You really think very many people would come here to hear the truth? They might come here to watch another fight. But you really think anybody would honestly look to us as the ones who would know how to show them the truth in the Bible? Of course they wouldn't. Nobody would want to visit here, and any influence we might have for good would instantly vanish. Elders who are violent would be bad examples also to the rest of the congregation. Is it permissible by God for a Christian to instigate a fight? No. We are not permitted to instigate a fight. Jesus chastised Peter for instigating violence against the servant of the high priest. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 52. Remember Peter got out a sword, cut off Malchus's ear? And Jesus said, you know, put that away, Peter. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. And then he healed the man's ear. If elders were allowed to be violent people, then so would the rest of the congregation. We'd be allowed to go beat people up until they converted. Now that's what the Muslims do. Convert to Islam or die. We are not like that. We are Christians. We are not barbarians. If being violent was allowed, then every member could come to blows anytime there was a disagreement, and whoever won is the one that's right. And you'd end up with the bloody bucket. Only the McLeod location of it. Well, the question though, does that mean violence is never permissible by God? Is it okay? Is violence ever okay? Is it okay to own a gun and use it on somebody? Okay, now that I got your attention, to cover this topic in depth would require a whole lot more time than I've got tonight. However, it should be sufficient enough to point out that God commanded the Israelites to go kill people. It was okay for Israelites to go kill those people who were heathens because God said so. Violence is not inherently sinful. There is a time during the Old Testament, for sure, there was at least a time when violence was proper. It was actually the thing that you had to do in order to be right with God. Jesus condemned Peter for instigating violence. However, Jesus commanded every one of them to go out and get a sword. The only explanation being that Jesus permitted them to have weapons for self-defense. Luke chapter 22 and verse 36, Jesus told them they needed to have a sword, even if they had to sell their garments to get one. They had to have a sword. And why would you have a sword? Well, obviously it wasn't to instigate violence because Peter was chastised for that. So you'd be to defend yourself. It's okay to have a weapon for self-defense. The the Jews in Israel knew very well that a lot of the paths that they traveled had thieves all around, and you would be killed if you didn't have some means of protection. Some people, though, teach that the Bible condemns any violence at all, and we must be complete pacifists. That means if somebody breaks into your house and then starts beating your children bloody, you have to sit there and watch and can't do anything. Some of them even go so far as to say you can't even call the police because the police might come and use violence and you'd be responsible for it. You're not allowed to do anything. Well, is that what Jesus taught? No. Jesus wouldn't have told those disciples carry a sword if they were supposed to be complete pacifists and not, you know, not have any sort of physical interaction that might involve that sword. Jesus would have been telling them, sell your garment which you need to buy something you don't need. Would Jesus have done that? Now, there hadn't been a use for that sword. Now, we could go on and on and on and on and on about that and show that the Bible does approve of self-defense, but will not. Just know that it does. Those things that we've pointed out hopefully should be enough for now. So do these three qualifications for elders apply to every Christian? Yes, they do. We are to be at peace with all men, not violent towards them. You can't be violent toward people and still be at peace with all people. The two just don't go together. We are to seek for unity and peace in the church, not causing trouble and strife. And we are to be patient. We should not allow our temper to take control. That's something that should describe every Christian, not just the elders. Basically, all of this means is we have to follow God and not say, see the two contrasts there. If you're a brawler or a contentious person, you're a violent person or a striker, that means you're following Satan. Instead, we need to follow God. So look at yourselves tonight. Are you the kind of person who argues a lot with people? Are you the kind of person who gossips? You talk bad about people behind their back? Shouldn't even say it to their face if it's something bad, unless you're trying to point it out to them so that they can fix it. Do you gossip about people? There's a lot of people that do. Are you the kind of person who resorts to violence to solve your problems? If the answer to any of those questions is yes, then you need to repent. You need to repent now, because we don't know if we'll even have tonight. We don't even know if we'll make it home tonight. You need to repent and be right with the Lord now. It's not the way God wants you to act. He doesn't want you to be argumentative or contentious. He doesn't want you to be violent. He doesn't want you to cause strife. God wants you to repent. God wants you to be faithful. God wants you to be saved, and so do we. If there's anything we as a congregation can do to help you in that, though, please come as we stand and as we sing the song that's been selected.